Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, the Six Nations tournament starts this weekend with Ireland playing both the first match against Wales and the last match against England. Ireland go into the tournament as favourites and with Johnny Sexton as captain once again. Lindsay Peat, former Ireland international and regular contributor to the House of Rugby podcast, and Gavin Casey, sports writer with the42.ie, join me now. Welcome to both of you. So, Ireland, the favourites, world number one. Gavin, maybe first to you. Is that the position that we want to be in going into the opening weekend of the Six Nations?
Yeah, absolutely not. I don't think there's a need to shy away from it or to shirk the weight of expectation that comes with being the world's number one team in an official capacity. In reality, I would say that France, Claire, are still the best team in the world. It's almost algorithmically or based on a point system that Ireland are world number ones, but Ireland are certainly right up there and their form dictates as much. If you go back 12 months to when we played France in Paris, France were deserved winners over Ireland that day, and they haven't really put a foot wrong since. So I always find it a little bit unfair that France aren't officially the world's number one team. But I think Ireland are justifiable favourites for this tournament on the basis that they have France at home. And in very simple terms, that home advantage can be worth maybe a 7 to 10 point swing on a good day. So with France and England at home, as you mentioned, in the tournament closer, it's usually these uneven years where Ireland tend to excel.
So, Lindsay, your take on that, Ireland or France as favourites, what are you more comfortable with?
Either or, I suppose. You know, I've been asked this question many times. You kind of look at it as a player, you kind of look at it as a supporter, you know, and if I was a player going into it, you kind of think it depends on personalities. You know, I'd be not standing up and be proud of world number one and kind of, you know, not egging people on, but you like what Andy Farrell has instilled in his team. And he was, as a player, he was very aggressive. He was very, he never, stood back. And he's kind of instilled in his team not only a really nice way to play. Everyone looks very happy, comfortable in their role. They're enjoying their rugby. But he's also kind of said to them, embrace it. You know, when Maureen Gatland made his comment about, you know, having a free shot at Ireland, you know, and his bite back was, well, I might buy him a free shot after the game because there's no free shots in Test rugby. I think that's saying it all. If that's the manager probably to be saying about that. And that builds confidence in your team. I do agree with Kevin. I think the French have been undermined, but I think they'll like that. The French, I think they're 10 games unbeaten. I think it's been their best record and consistent run of wins. And they've been, you know, they've been good for them. They've played some really, really good rugby. So I think it'll be key this weekend to see if we can get a win to start off the tournament. But I also think the key then to the success and how far we've come in that 12 months since that loss in Paris will be the home game against France.
You mentioned, sorry to interrupt you, Lindsay, but you mentioned Andy Farrell there, and Vincent Hogan had a long piece about Andy Farrell. He spoke to lots of former players, other coaches, unnamed sources in the business. It was a really positive review of what Andy has done. Some of the lines in there, that the atmosphere is more relaxed in the Ireland camp, they're very attack minded now and they're really comfortable in their own skins and they're enjoying themselves. He's been good for the team.
He has, and I can't lie, I suppose, and I'm sure, you know, many of us, you know, there was scepticism around, you know, Joe Schmidt had provided this golden era with, you know, historic wins, and I suppose Andy's tenure didn't start off too well, but I think they're coaches are polar opposites, and when you're confident and not afraid to make a mistake, you play better because you're not inhibited. And I know that as a player, when you're instilled with that confidence to just go and express yourself and play, and we've seen that with Ireland. I think they've been a joy to watch, but you can see them enjoying their rugby and it's refreshing, and you kind of buy into that and you can feed it off them. So to be recognised, I suppose, players and men within a setup that they're very relaxed and seen and be able to express themselves is huge. And, you know, we brandish culture around the place, but it's very, very hard to create that. And he seems to have created a really, really good culture where I'd say lads are excited to get into camp, excited to get in an Ireland jersey and excited to play. So I think that will be the case, that whatever 23 is picked, you know, as we go progress through the tournament, you know, no one will take a foot wrong because they bought into that. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing for us, I think.
Gavin, what do you say about that, about whether that positive vibe is really there and what difference it's going to make?
I think it's massive, and Lindsay will know better than anybody when you're in the trenches, as it's often put in rugby terms. When you're playing alongside guys who feel like brothers or sisters, in Lindsay's case, in the teams that she played with, you will go that extra inch for the players alongside you. And there's a sense of, I think, almost kinship in that Ireland team, like regardless of your provincial allegiances or where you're playing on a given weekend for your provinces. There are really close relationships, close friendships and bonds formed all across that team. Now, some of them will have existed from even the Joe Schmidt era, but I think Andy Farrell has done an expert job of manifesting that across the squad overall, like that sense of closeness and a sense of willingness as well to go to battle for each other when things get tough. And as you alluded to there from Vincent Hogan's piece and just from speaking to people in rugby generally, Farrell is a master manipulator, and I really don't mean that to have any sort of a negative connotation. He's excellent at almost massaging the psychology of a team in such a way that everything is positive, in such a way that it's as enjoyable an environment as Lindsay is making it out to be, and in a way that, exactly as Lindsay outlines, when you're putting on a Ireland jersey or even when you're going to training camp in Portugal, for example, where they've just spent the week, it's something you're actually looking forward to. It's not, there's no degree of trepidation about it. And that's what brings me back to why they shouldn't shirk away from that expectation of being the world's number one team in an official capacity, at least. Mm-hmm. It is because why would you? Like, these are some of the best days of your life in a green jersey. They're enjoying the rugby. They're playing really good rugby. And there's massive cause for optimism. I think previous iterations of Ireland teams, if you think back to 2018, you could make an argument that maybe when they had beaten New Zealand and they were de facto the world's number one team, they might have had a little bit of a nosebleed afterwards. And I really don't expect that to be the case with this team, because they're ready for the mantle of being that team and ready to hopefully challenge for a World Cup later in the year.
This is likely to be, Lindsay, Johnny Sexton's last Six Nations. Now, I know, given how he operates and what we've seen from him over the years, he's not going to spend too much time, I would imagine, thinking about this being his last. He still has a lot of work to do. He's talking about plans to retire after the World Cup. So, you know, there's a lot on his plate. But do you think that knowing somewhere in his mind, knowing that this is the last Six Nations, will have any impact? And if so, what kind of an impact will it have on him?
I would hope not, Claire, because to be honest, I've experienced that myself, like 12 months ago being my last game against USA, and it was brilliant. I knew in my heart of hearts it was the last game, but I didn't go into it thinking, you know, we didn't get too emotional about it. The jersey presentation good. We'd other stuff going on, to be honest, kind of the opposite of what we've just spoken about, the positivity of what we're experiencing now. So Johnny can't get emotional about it, because if you get emotional about the what-ifs and your performance, and it's no more than your first catch, to be honest, you kind of preempt this magnificent debut or this magnificent send-off, you'd have no control over it. And what he needs to do, and I have no doubt he will do, he will just be the mastermind, the leader, the exceptional player that he has been, and he will just put no fault wrong. He'll just stick to his game plan, he'll stick to his routine, and nothing will deviate from that for him. And I think when the dust settles, it's easier to take those kind words in, or those moments where you've experienced it. But I think he'll just live in the moment and he'll stick to the game plan. Yep. And he has to, because game will pass him by.
He'll know he has work to do. We'll leave it there for now. Lindsay Pete and Gavin Casey, and the best of luck to the Ireland team tomorrow. We'll take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.